Radio Blue Mountains. Welcome to the Business Show. The Business Show, presented by Blue Mountains Regional Business Chamber, with your hosts, Peter Davies and Andrea Turner-Boyce.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody going? Welcome to the Business Show. We sound a bit like we've got a bit of echo in here, so I'm just going to bring down this volume.
It's also the external. You know the external, we hear that echo?
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit, got a bit of a, just a bit of noise to it. Like, anyway, welcome
That's
to the Business
better.
Show. The Business Show is hosted and supported by the Blue Mountains Regional Business Chamber, where here we meet local business people and we chat about topics that affect you or might even assist you in your business journey. Good afternoon. My name is Peter Davies and I'm the president of the Blue Mountains Regional Business Chamber. And I thank you for tuning in to my show today. Welcome, everyone. I've got two amazing co-hosts with me today. I've got Andrea Turner-Boyce.
And you've got an invisible one.
Our regular.
Hi, everyone. How are you going?
And we've got Catherine Hawes here sitting behind me in the background today. Catherine's going to potentially run some shows into the towards the end of the year and into the new year and maybe look at taking over the show. So it's great to have a little bit of expertise amongst our chamber of people that can...
Diversity.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it is really
Less
good.
Less risk for us, so it's fantastic.
So if we're a bit slow today, Pete's training on the other end of the desk.
Yeah, so hopefully, anyway, Catherine's grabbing it all as we go. She doesn't have a microphone at this point in time, but she's madly knee-deep in paper and pens and writing notes and whatever. But
anyhow. We've got our good show today.
We have.
So firstly, we're going to be joined by Donna Marcel from Dermatonics, and then Karen Lister is unwell. That's terrible.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's wrong with
another person goes down and bites the dust with the flu.
Did you hear? Blue Mountains is on the radar for the worst area, actually, for flu this year. So hopefully...
Both my kids have had it.
Karen, if you're listening, we hope you have a super fast recovery, love.
So we're going to be meeting Chad Gilson, Karen's colleague from Bathurst, and Rob Lees from Mortgage Choice is going to join us for our regular real estate and finance segments. Before we're joined by Donna, let's have a little bit of music. So what is the music theme and relevance? What has Shane done?
This week he's got, it's all about...
Dirty Dancing?
No, it's about songs. Yeah, but it's about songs that have been then used as TV commercials. It's actually a really cool theme this week. I thought we could even play a game and see if you know what they came from.
But I know this one.
This is what sparked it, is the current Stan ad, which is Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen. So that's what our theme is, and our first track is
so creative.
Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen. Welcome back to Radio Blue Mountains. That was Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen. Welcome back. I was getting all ready to have a bit of that. It was a cute little jingle about the Alexa Drive, wasn't it?
It was a refreshing change, can I just say.
It was.
So we'd like to welcome now Donna Marcel from Dermatonics. Hi.
Hello.
How are you going?
Good. How are you?
We're very well. Good. Thank you. Welcome to the Business Show. So tell us about Dermatonics. Who are you? What are you about? It's quite exciting to have you with us today.
So Dermatonics is a relatively new brand. We launched last year, and what we are is we're an Australian natural skincare range.
Cool.
We're very passionate about being Australian and also ensuring that our products are free from nasty ingredients, harsh chemicals, and that we have the purest of natural ingredients in there.
Ah, and so what is the reason for that? Like, what was the passion that drove that? Usually somebody has a story.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess we were tired, not to knock other brands out there, but, you know, we were tired of seeing a lot of rubbish still in skincare. And also having a natural range that we were passionate about that had lots of ingredients that work together. So we make sure that we have multiple ingredients that have the same effect and they work together, so you actually have a brand that gives you a really nice result for your skin that you're looking for. So if you're looking for anti-aging, we have multiple ingredients that work together that will give you that result, but that have natural ingredients. And also, I have very sensitive skin myself. I'm very prone to eczema. And quite honest, before we started this, I would use, you know, creams that have nothing in it because just everything would irritate my skin. So I wanted to make sure we created something that was also very good for sensitive skin like myself.
Wow. So this is actually your own brand, because I noticed the very exciting part about being an Australian-owned product, but I get a hint of an accent in there.
Yes, I am Canadian, but now I'm also an Australian as well. So just a few months ago, I became a dual citizen.
Congratulations.
Won't be running for Parliament, though.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you care?
Oh, we now know that's definitely a no-no.
Yes, so I'm Canadian. I've been here for 10 years, though. My husband is Australian. However, he's from Portugal originally. So there's definitely a multicultural bit in our family.
And you were telling me in the break that your husband has a medical background as well.
Yes, so but we both have a medical research background. So my husband is his name is Helder Marcel. So we're the two people that have created Dermatonix. So he has a biomedical engineering background with a specialty in tissue regeneration, nerve repair. My background, my PhD was in biochemistry. So I'm a biochemist by trade, but focusing on inflammation. So that knowledge has really helped us with building this brand to ensure that it helps the skin regenerate and also doesn't cause inflammation. Mm. It actually tones down inflammation.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So where can we purchase your products?
Well, that's at the moment we are available online, and we're looking for stockists. So we have a few stockists that are in the greater Sydney area. Mm-hmm. Our product is targeted for skincare clinics and spas, because we're a little bit of a higher clinical grade natural skincare range. So we're continually looking for new stockists. So we're definitely looking for some stockists up here in the Blue Mountains area. If anybody,
we should introduce you to Linda from Spa.
Yeah,
Sublime.
Linda does it. She does a lot of her own products too, but I don't know whether it's of medical grade.
No, it's definitely not.
Yeah.
So this would be maybe a good match. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, we can introduce you and see
Linda from Spa Sublime, if you're listening. Yeah. You should have a chat to her.
We should. And you've also got another product called Relievamed. Tell us about that.
Yes. So our company is called Centrica, and underneath that we have the Dermatonix brand, which is our main brand. But Relievamed is a natural joint and muscle rub. So again, we wanted to create something that had a really great effect, but that was natural and that had many ingredients that were anti-inflammatory, wound healing, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. So this is a great formula. It's absolutely packed with ingredients that will help with your joints, arthritic joints, muscles, lower back, all that kind of stuff.
And what kinds of ingredients do you use?
Do you use any aromatherapy oils? I'm big on aromatherapy.
Yes, so there's definitely some aromatherapy oils in there. One of the main ingredients that inspired us to start all of this is an ingredient called curcuma xanthoriza.
Say that three times really fast.
So it's a unique species of curcuma that we have access to. So the typical
curcuma?
It's turmeric. So basically,
Curcuma
longa is the main turmeric species that a lot of people use or deal with, and it's quite good. But curcuma xanthoriza has an active. There's curcuminoids and xanthoresol in there, and they're about 8 to 10 times more potent than the typical turmeric that people use. So it's highly anti-inflammatory. We've got arnica is in there. We've got things like boswellia. There's also a little bit of chili extract in there, just enough to give you a little bit of a warming effect, and it's very anti-inflammatory, but it's not too hot. And there's a lot of other complementing natural ingredients in there that will all contribute to helping relieve inflammation.
That's fantastic, because Well, there's probably hundreds of them on the market, but I don't, in terms of those kinds of rubs, I've got sports players at home, netball players, and that complaining about sore muscles and all I think of is that revolting Denka rub stuff. You know what I mean? And it's just awful.
This stuff smells good. I've got some with me.
Because
that Denka rub smell is like, actually, it's funny. I went into the office the other day, and I walked up near Christy, and I'm like, Have you denker up today? Are you okay? And it was actually the, because we do run aromatherapy oils in our office.
Okay.
A lot of the time around our where we're at. So whether we're sort of, we've got some customers maybe in that potentially we think might need some calming, or mm-hmm. sometimes our job can be quite stressful. Then other times, that, and this particular day, she had basil and peppermint going because it was like, we got to get stuff done, girls. And so it was the peppermint, I think, that was creating, the basil and peppermint together was creating this.
How did it smell? I've got basil and peppermint at home. I never thought to put them together. I've got those, both of those oils. It smells like Nicarum.
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me? Not a good burning combination.
Well, it was just kind of a bizarre smell. But, I mean, my point was, that we totally associate a non-favourable smell to Dinkarub, don't we? So a product that can actually do that and not have that that nasty smell to it would be great. So
So for Relievamed, you'd be looking for different kinds of stockers.
Yes.
So
Relievamed is more, we're working with physiotherapists, chiropractors, naturopaths, and this will also be a pharmacy product as well. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic for Relievamed. But we know the physios and naturopaths are very appreciative of the formula that we've put together. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So do you actually produce these products on the mountain, or
do you have
a factory that...
Yeah, there isn't a factory in the mountains that we use. We have our manufacturing facilities in the western part of Sydney, is where we do our large-scale manufacturing, because there just unfortunately isn't somewhere, somewhat up in the mountains.
Here. No, there's not. So,
it's all good. We get that. It's all good. We understand.
That's awesome. Fantastic. So, and I think are you doing some expos, or you're around about the mountains where you've actually, whilst you're still sourcing some stockers, there's an ability for people to find you out and about?
Yes. So recently we've been doing lots of wellness expos. We've done Embrace Life in Penrith just recently, and this past weekend we were at Body, Mind, Spirit in Lumia. So again, just getting in front of people with our product. And the great thing is there they can try it. And that's the great thing is that, you know, people can try it. They have a walk around the festival and they come back and they say, that felt really great. I'm going to get some. And the first thing, like we said, is that when we also have it in a massage oil format that they can try, and everybody says, oh, it smells so good.
Yeah,
and that's really nice to hear. So that's with Relievamed, but also this coming weekend with Dermatonics, we'll also have Relievamed there as well, though. We're doing the Business Chicks 9 to Thrive Expo.
Which
is at the Royal Hall of Industry. So that's a big one. So we're going to be at that one. So we're very excited about that. We'll get a bit of exposure with that, and people will be able to try it out for themselves.
And you just have to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Just keep doing as many things you can
get. So we're just trying to get ourselves out there as much as possible in front of people to get it known. Yeah.
So what is the website if we would like to purchase online? How can we find you?
Yeah, so for Dermatonics, it's dermatonics.com.au. And for Relievamed, it's relievamed.com, and it's R-E-L-I-E-V-A-M-E-D.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tricky word, that. Even when I was doing the draft, I'm like, what does that say? Is that spelt right?
So we've got dermatonics.com.au and relievamed.com.au.
That's correct.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Donna. Thanks so much, Donna. Hopefully we might see you around at a few chamber events. So you must be
definitely.
A new member of the chamber.
We are, yes. We're very happy to join.
Well,
and
welcome
be a part.
Aboard.
Yes. And we've already made some connections through the chamber as well, with people that we're going to be working with.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for coming into the show today. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and talk to us. And I look forward to seeing your products out and about. Mm-hmm. And, fantastic.
I definitely want to give them a whirl.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's have a song break now. And this is obviously from another ad. This is Go Your Own Way.
Do you know what that ad is?
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Go Your Own Way. I don't know. Maybe after we hear the song, it might highlight something.
I think it's
something.
A car ad. But I can't tell you what brand.
All right.
Anyway,
well, let's see how we go. I love a bit of Fleetwood Mac. That was Go Your Own Way.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a car ad.
The old Electra guy ad again. That was great. Anyway, welcome back to Radio Blue Mountains. You are listening to The Business Show. And we've got a very special guest with us today, Chad, who is...
He's just walked in and we've just thrown a pair of headphones on him and plonked him in the chair.
But I reckon he can handle it.
Had a breath.
I reckon.
Hello.
Chad, how are you going?
In place of Karen from Yumi Real Estate. So she's unwell and you're stepping in today. Welcome.
That's right. Thank
Have you just driven up from Bathurst?
I did. So it's that hour and 15.
You're awesome. Yeah. Poor old Karen sent me a little text message this morning just to say that she wasn't very well and that you were going to step in. And she did say that you were from the Bathurst region. And then, look, here you are. So fantastic.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about yourself, Chad. So how'd you get into real estate?
Yeah, sure. So I started in real estate in 2010. And that's when I got my license, and that's actually when I met Karen as well. So we've basically worked together since. And, you know, once real estate's in your blood and you love it, you keep doing it.
Yeah?
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're based out in Bathurst area and you're helping people with their home.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're working underneath the Yumi brand?
That's right. So I used to work up here around Lurikatoomba, Wentworth Falls, but I was bringing the Yumi brand to Bathurst. So yeah. I'm settled out there now. So it's really good. It's a new area. There's
What's
a lot
the property
growth.
Market like out there?
Look, it's going really well.
Yeah?
There's a lot of growth. It's still growing. I think the difference there compared to here is there's more construction and that sort of thing out there. But interestingly, less properties have been sold this year compared to last year, but the prices are still going up. So,
yeah. So can I put you on the spot and ask you what the median house price in Bathurst is?
Based on the, I'd say the bulk, the most residential, I had a look this morning, it's about $420,000 at the moment.
Mm. So still really... Like
well, traditionally, when you think back not that long ago, where you could probably buy Bathurst for $200,000.
Of course, in comparison, to Sydney. What's the economic drivers of Bathurst? Because I used to, in the 90s, travel out there all the time. Mm. Bathurst, Orange, Dubbo. I used to do the Western Sydney run when I worked for Schwarzkopf, which is hairdressing products, back in the day. And to know these areas are growing, what's driving the growth? Like, what is the big thing? Because obviously there was mining, but it's not mining for Bathurst, is it?
Still a little bit is out there toward Orange, but a lot of rural growth, so farming, agricultural. There's a lot of government jobs out there now as well. So a lot of the shift has been going regional with work, particularly government, and also education's big out there. There's the universities.
Yes.
So you've got a few different, benefits of a growing economy in Bathurst with those sectors.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's really good to know. So it was always the Apple City, wasn't it?
Orange.
Oh, God. Orange,
getting
my orange in my
back. I know, that's confusing.
Yeah, but Orange is another area. Do you do that area as well or not?
Yeah, I've been working Orange. I'm focusing on Bathurst. But,
yeah, of course. Because they're not that far from each other.
No.
And I see them both as quite thriving communities.
Yeah. Mm,
absolutely. Right?
What about Lithgow? Do you sort of come in to, like, who? So you look at the top of the mountain here and then down into Lithgow.
Mm.
So do you think that would be more like Karen's area? Or I sort of would align Lithgow more with Bathurst than the mountain.
Yeah, look, I mean, we've done work in Lithgow before, so, I mean, it's whoever takes care of it.
That's, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're happy to travel because it's not that far.
Yeah.
That's the good thing
about
that.
And what
about
your clientele? Is it the demographic? Is it families?
A lot of families.
Retirees.
A lot of university students as well.
Okay.
And
so that means it's good for an investor to consider maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. Good for an investor. Mind you, I was talking to Karen about this the last few weeks. I've noticed a lot of properties sitting on the market because I think a lot of people have gotten on the rental investment bandwagon and now there's a lot sitting. So it's the question of, are the rental properties good enough for the tenants? Are they being picky or has the market been flooded? So now we're seeing that because there's a lot of on-campus accommodation. So versus private rental, it can be better for a student to be on campus.
Yeah. Well, I guess it all depends on what they can afford too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like a property would often unless you can share with some other uni mates, could be more expensive. But then for your families who are getting sort of priced out of Sydney, because the Sydney prices are definitely unaffordable in a lot of cases.
Mm.
And then you've got, I think before too long, then even potentially families might start to get pushed out of their rental affordability because as values, house values and, you know, interest rates, which we'll be chatting to Rob about interest rates in the next segment, but as interest rates potentially start to move up and property values are going up, then you can only expect that rents are going to start to follow suit, aren't they?
Yeah, it'll catch up. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I used to always say to my clients who are thinking about investment properties, if you're looking at a specific region, go in and speak to your real estate agents and in your property management side as if you are a potential tenant.
Yeah.
Because that's a really great way to understand how much is on the market, because you don't necessarily want to buy in places that it is flooded if that were to be the case. So.
Yeah, not to say it's not a bad investment there.
No.
I think it's getting the right property.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's been flooded with a lot of villas and two-bedroom units for that uni student demographic,
yep. mm-hmm.
but I think the demand for that has cooled off,
yeah.
whereas more quality property is in yep. high demand, and
yep.
yeah, it's about choosing the right investment there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, it's about that in any case, isn't
yeah.
it, really? Like, it's, you know, you've got to be smart in that case, so.
Yeah.
But I think Bathurst, I think any of those sort of bigger... highly populated towns over the mountain are going to become quite sought after as the as what we're seeing happening down in the Penrith Basin with the
yeah.
influx of high-rise and unit living and things like that, that families will start to. And if you've got the infrastructure out there,
that's right.
hospitals, uni that you've mentioned.
There's great infrastructure.
Yeah. Do you get much mining?
Out in Orange, there's a mine out there.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
And a lot of people, because it's quite central in Bathurst as well, there might be work over in Young or Orange or Mudgee and have to commute for either for work. That can be good for them as well, depending on what their situation is at home. And the infrastructure is getting better as well, transport-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So the rail link has gotten better. Yeah, not so much more. I think they've streamlined it a bit, though, made the service better. And so that helps as well if people don't want to do the drive. Or you can fly.
Yeah,
yeah. I've got a colleague out at Dubbo. I don't know whether that sits in that bucket, but he often flies into Sydney, and it's fairly quick, but you're limited with and
Dubbo's
cost, obviously.
Like, you can't do that in the Dubbo. Like, it's a long trip.
Yeah, he tends to line it up with the Parramatta Eels footy.
So
whenever we've got something going on at head office level, if the Eels are playing at home, you'll find that Matt turns up. So what about the wine industry out there? Do you find that, does that bring a lot of people out that way to reside, or is it more just tourist-based?
I think it's more tourist-based, but again, I think that's what is a bit of a dangling carrot for people to move out there, to say that there are things to do out there, good wine.
Well, it creates
not far
jobs
away,
too,
you know,
doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's a huge industry now, particularly around Mudgee as well and Orange. There's quite a few economic factors why people
and
are going
there. It's just changed over the years too, like all of those major towns. There's better restaurants, there's more tourist attractions, there's more wineries, there's, you know, the food, the beverage, it's all kind of gotten better. So then, you know, that's attributed to a bigger economy and there's people that are all, you know, thriving.
Yeah. I mean, eating out's great there. I love it.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
What, there's more than just that McDonald's?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely more than just that McDonald's, honey.
You have to get out of your car.
Yeah, that's right. Walk around. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, it's lovely to meet you, Chad.
Yes,
and you drove
you.
All the way up from Bathurst. It's so lovely.
What was the weather like out there? Did you have snow overnight?
No, we didn't. I was hoping for it.
Yeah.
But we'll see what
happens
tonight. Oh, is there
a chance today?
Yeah. They were saying so, yeah.
The August winds. Like, winds are always in August.
Yeah,
today,
are they?
Boy, did I. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, August winds. Yeah.
They were pitching it last night on the news about the cold snap or whatever they're sort of referring to, and I know the ski fields have had a huge dump over the weekend.
Yeah, it looks great.
But they're sort of expecting, I think, a few flurries out this way. But I was sitting in the car waiting to come on air before I was on the phone and watching the clouds. They're moving so fast.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Maybe we might get a bit of that snow from the speed of the
wind.
When
was the last time it snowed in Bathurst, do you remember?
I think it was 2 years ago. From memory.
Well,
I wasn't there for it, unfortunately.
Was it last year that they had that fairly large dump here in Katoomba?
No, I think it was the year before.
I think it's the time
yeah. Chad's talking about, because I had a friend that went out to Oberon with her family and hired a B&B for the night so she could take her little ones into the snow, which was kind of cool.
Last time it snowed here in Katoomba, my daughters and I, we drove up one night and brought our little dog who departed this world a few weeks ago, which is really quite sad. And it came up in my Facebook memories because we brought her out and put her on the ground. And she was just like standing there with her, like, why are you making me stand in this cold snow? This is great. You know, we were stupid and thought that would be fun. So
I know, it's such an oldie for us. I remember meeting a person from the UK who lived up here, and she was up in arms about how when there's snow, we get snowed in. And why isn't the council got the infrastructure? In England, they move the streets and they clear the streets and all this stuff. I'm thinking to myself, because it doesn't snow enough. Like, can you imagine that infrastructure that would need to go in place? I thought it was quite funny.
Do you find that the houses are built differently out there for that reason? Like, if you go to use that UK example, the way that the windows and doors are sort of built in is very different to even our cottages up here in the mountains.
Oh, generally, no.
So how do you warm up out there?
Just more heating.
I think it's just having the right heating. Wood fire is definitely
there's
a bonus.
There's lots of old double brick houses, though.
There are.
In that area.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
They would be cosy.
More so
but
than...
But you don't think the new ones have got any kind of extra fit out?
No, just your usual gas heating,
that
sort of thing. Yeah. It's rare that someone will put in a wood burner now, but I think they're great.
Yeah.
And
because the other side of the spectrum is it's still really hot, right? In the spring and summertime, it's so hot out there.
Yeah.
So they usually fill them with both, so you've got air conditioning and gas in most houses now. So the architecture is actually quite similar to up here. So and a lot of the new builds as well, they're quite contemporary out in the estates.
And when we talk about Bathurst, we're talking about a region, aren't we? So there's actually suburbs or do you call them suburbs or towns that
suburbs,
like Kelso and places like that that are also expanding? That's where a lot of the new houses are?
That's right. So you've got the Kelso on one side and then there's Eglinton, Lynarth, Wintradyne. That's growing. So it's your west side of Bathurst.
Schmancy name, I know. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is it's all under one postcode.
Wow.
So there's actually 95 suburbs under 2795.
Really?
Yeah, so it's not broken up like the mountains. So So I've sat down this morning and chose my top six. That's where I got the median from.
Yep.
So the main residential, because you've got a lot of rural properties as well. So
what's the population out there? Do you happen to know?
It's about 43,000.
Okay, so about half of what we've got here in the mountains.
Mm.
And then do you know the demographic, the size of those, what did you say, 95 towns?
Yeah,
95.
Yeah.
We only have 27 villages here on the mountains.
I know, and each one has just about a different postcode.
It does.
But we'll whack 95 underneath the Bathurst postcode.
Yes, does it?
Just keep one postcode.
Yes.
What council do you come under?
It's Bathurst Regional City Council.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe they kept it simple.
Maybe. I don't... That's actually blown my mind because right now... in our industry and around businesses and franchises, they're all postcode driven.
Mm.
And what postcode do you actually look after? So we don't, as a franchise, we're not bound by boundaries as such, but postcodes. And so my argument is constantly about the Blue Mountains.
Yep.
Is that you can't just give me Valley Heights where my office is because there's
That's
500 people. They don't get it.
They don't get the range of postcodes.
They
of the
don't
villages.
Get it because even if you look to Penrith as an example, so 2750, it has a population of about 200,000, and that sort of covers Penrith and some suburbs of Penrith now are excluded from 2750. Glenmore Park got its own postcode, and some of the old areas, Cambridge Park, and so forth. And there, this is the reason why I'm so knowledgeable in this space because I'm working through some business numbers, but that. 2750 looks after Emu Plains and Penrith, and there's no consistency across New South Wales at all when it comes to a postcode bucket. You know, like maybe it should be X amount of people into...
I have to say to you, I would love one postcode for the mountains because the
Makes
amount
sense.
Of times I'm like, trying to work out, I always got the postcode wrong from Situate with Falls is different to Katoomba. And
I wonder why. Why does a postcode exist other than mail?
That's what Catherine. If we had a video, Catherine's like my expression in the background. Like, why are we even bothering with postcodes?
Is she like, who cares?
Do you think because post is going, well, I think we still need them. I mean, if you're in the UK, your postcode identifies your house.
Correct.
So it's a much better system, right?
But I think to Catherine's point, there's probably more pressing issues around changing postcodes like this. They're talking about the national identification. That's probably a higher priority than changing the postcodes of the state.
Oh, well, we've gone across. Well, it's all in the one kind of categories. We're talking about postcodes. We talk about homes, where we live.
Yeah, the region. That's exactly right. Property prices.
Really appreciate you coming all the way from Bathurst to talk to
us. Yeah, how awesome are you?
We've got a bit of work up here to do this afternoon anyway. So it's a bit of a 2-in-1, but yes.
Yes,
still special.
Well, please pass down our regards to Catherine Karen when you see her. Brain doesn't work anymore.
See how she likes that one.
Well, at least
she saved it. She saved it. So you didn't call her Karen.
No, I wasn't going there. I wasn't going there. Chad, thanks so much for. Yeah, it's too cold. The tongues don't work.
Thank you
so much for making the effort to come in. We do really appreciate it. We do wish Karen all the best and hope that she has a fast recovery. And, you know, maybe we'll get you back in again sometime. Maybe you guys can tag team a bit. That'd be cool.
umirealestate.com.au if people want more information.
That's right. And my number for Bathurst region is 0437 964 414.
That's awesome.
Excellent. Thanks, Chad.
All right. Well, we're off to have some fun. Girls Just Want to Have Fun with Cindy Lauper.
Awesome.
And you got to love that, a bit of Cyndi Lauper with Girls Just Want
to
Have Fun.
What ad it is, though.
Oh, I think that was a woman's...
Do you know what our theme is today, Rob? Welcome, Mr. Lee.
I don't, no.
Because you can contribute to this conversation. Okay. So Shane's done a theme of when hits have become ads.
TV ads,
yep. Right? So with Girls Just Want to Have Fun, I'm thinking...
I do remember that at some stage, but I can't remember the ad.
Yeah, right. I think it was obviously filtered towards ladies, and I kind of feel like it was some woman's product... Could have even been shoes or something.
Oh,
anyway.
Probably tampons, you know.
Oh, you had to go there, didn't you?
On that, but I didn't want to say it.
No, I was thinking it. Even Rob was thinking it. So
I wasn't going to say it.
I am female. That's probably why I just believe.
It's currently 18.1 degrees, guys, in Katoomba. And who wants to know?
Way warmer. Are you sure? Have we refreshed that? No.
I did refresh.
4.8 degrees. Hang on. That's spring.
It was about 10 degrees.
17.9. So it has come down a little bit. But look at Katoomba.
Katoomba 4.8. My husband works at Katoomba. He starts at 7 o'clock on a Monday morning, and every morning about 8 o'clock, he sends me this little message: "Honey, it's really cold today. Rug up if you're coming up to the radio." It's quite cute. So I was prepared.
Well, I do have the UGG boots on today for my day in Katoomba. Not lying.
Oh, she really does under that desk. She's got her Uggies on.
I bought black coloured UGG boots. Purposely, so they went along with my uniform. So on these cold days in Katoomba, it's not quite so obvious. But anyway, welcome back to Radio Blue Mountains 89.1. And you are listening to The Business Show, and it's our pleasure to have Rob Lees with us again from Mortgage Choice, Blue Mountains and Penrith, and talking about the cash rate.
On hold again.
On hold yet again. It's getting a bit boring. Really,
it is getting a bit boring, but I'm okay with that.
It's not boring.
No.
I think it's a good thing.
That's true. Yeah. So 12 months. So the last rate rise was, the last rate rise was August.
Official
last year,
RBA
months.
Rate rise.
Yes, official RBA.
The 11th month in a row.
And not much has changed really. Like we're still under target as far as inflation at 1.9%, and the target inflation's between 2% and 3%.
So that's the target.
Yes, so,
okay, so
it's still low economic growth, sluggish company investment, low wages growth, all that sort of thing. Also, the Aussie dollar's around 80%, which isn't so good for our exports. So all those things sort of mean that it's not like the RBA needs to raise rates to slow down the economy. If anything, it needs some stimulation.
Yeah.
So rates are on hold yet again, and all the economists seem to be saying it's looking like it'll stay that way till the end of 2018.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But it's interesting because some stats out last week were saying that whilst the RBA has put rates on hold once again, but a lot of homeowners, statistically the amount of applications for fixed-rate home loans are are really high in comparison.
Yeah. So, yeah, and fixed rates tend to operate a lot on fear, I guess, in some respects, which banks like. But, yes, there's a lot of interest in fixed rates, certainly at our office.
Oh, you had a
conversation,
you were chatting about fixed rates in a little bit, weren't we?
Yeah, we will have a talk about that in a minute, yeah, we will.
So principal and interest, or interest only, this is such a, finance people, this is like the biggest thing.
This is a really interesting discussion because traditional wisdom has always been, if you have an investment property, you have interest only repayments. And there's good reason for that, as you'd be aware, Andrea, because... Just catching in.
Just give her so much in this segment.
I know you can't see these guys.
Give her a nudge, Rob, and wake her up.
I could just see the glassiness over her eyes.
No, I've got a question ready. She's with us. I am.
But traditionally, we had interest only. It was always the way it was because you pay off your non-deductible debt first.
Yes.
And you wouldn't pay down your investment loans because you're actually reducing your tax deduction. Whereas now things have changed because there's such a difference between principal interest rates and interest-only rates.
Yeah.
So the savings can be quite significant. So, you know, it really is an important discussion, and with pretty much all of our investor clients, it's a discussion
we're having. It's a different strategy, isn't it, Rob? What I'm finding, and I did this with my own portfolio last week, was I flicked out from interest-only, which is a rate up over 5% in most cases now, and I did take a fixed-rate loan down for 2 years, but on a P&I repayment at 3.88%.
ANZ or NAB, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay, so stop your jargon. What's a P&I?
So that's the principal and interest.
Oh, that's when you say, okay, so that's what you're talking about. See, they go into little acronyms and you lose
them. And that's why we need you. We do.
Very much so.
To bring us back
down
to
earth. Right, so you did a principal and interest.
So I changed my strategy. That's the point. And that's the point that I was making.
3.8%.
I think it's happening a lot. I mean, I've had a bunch of refinance I've done for people. I wrote down a few here. This is just, this is one client. It was a $700,000 investment loan, 5.6% with Westpac. We were able to refinance it, change the security property from an investment property to an owner-occupied with AMP, where the rate is 3.79.
Yeah.
So 1.81% savings on interest, which translates to $12,670 per year.
Do you love that?
A lot of money.
$12,000. I cannot remember any sort of saving like that. That's a massive saving.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've probably done about three or four simpler types of refinances like that. So, you know, we're at a stage where there's massive savings on
so
this.
If you've got an investment property, you need to look at your 100%. Refinancing just like
and
you do
just,
with everything else.
Look,
you need to review it.
It can be massive savings. It really just depends because normally even changing to a lower rate with principal and interest, or P&I.
Yeah,
okay,
I now know what it is.
Cash commitment still might be slightly higher, but not much. I actually had another example here with a client who was looking at getting a loan for, what was he borrowing? He was borrowing, I didn't write it down, but it wasn't much. I think it was about $180,000. And it was, hang on, I did have it here. No, it's not there. I've detached it. But the difference was something like about $20 a month by changing from interest only to principal interest.
And then the saving was...
It was just a little bit more. $20 a month, but the saving and interest was massive. So
my example was, I think it's about 200 and something per month dearer. My repayment will be dearer. But I'm saving about 500 in interest. Mm. So that means that I'm paying more off my investment, which again, traditionally it's not the strategy that we ever use because I still have a home loan. So my strategy was totally to get rid of that thing off my back as soon as possible. But you can't deny those rates.
Oh, there's so many examples. And this that rate you've got too, that 2 years fixed at 3.88%, which NAB and ANZ offer, that's a really competitive rate. I had someone buying a property in the city, $460,000, and it was either 5.56% interest only or 3.88%. For principal and interest, that one was $7,700 per year saving.
Wow. And I guess, Rob, do you want to talk a little bit about why the banks are doing that, like the impact on our banking system and that safety mechanism that they're trying to introduce?
So the problem with this is that, or the main thing was that the banking regulator, APRA, wrote to the banks a little while ago and said that they weren't able to, they had to restrict their interest-only lending to 30% of all new lending, which is massive, and it has had a big impact. So as a result of that, the banks, to try and discourage interest-only lending, they've increased their interest rates and also tightened some of their lending criteria as well. But, you know, it's obviously working, because a lot of people who would have otherwise had interest-only loans are now opting for principal and interest.
Which ultimately, if you look long-term then and see that where overnight a lot of people became investors because they had this newfound equity in their homes, and because the interest-only repayment quite often will meet the rent in return, so people kind of, a lot of people that just went, oh yeah, that's a great strategy, and didn't necessarily get proper advice or whatever. So if these changes that the government are making or that the regulators are forcing the banks to insist, then I think it's a good thing for the industry, because I think it just keeps our banking system safe. And if there is a downturn in the market, well, at least then people are paying off their debts rather than
paying down our loans.
It's the safest in the world for a reason, isn't it? Don't we have the safest banking institutions in the world?
And whilst, you know, I've got to admit, we don't like it, you know, because it's different. But
it is different, but we're starting to get used to it. And I think, again, there's very good reason to review home loans. I was thinking about, on the way up, something about electricity prices, and people are talking about saving a couple of $100 a year on their electricity.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking,
$200?
I mean, here's massive savings on home loans if we're talking about thousands of dollars, compared to just saving on your energy prices. So it's definitely worth reviewing these things.
So what about fixed rates? You were going to talk about fixed rates.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Is it a good time to do that now?
Yeah, look, I think it just depends on the rate that's on offer. I think always when it comes to fixed rates, the reason for choosing a fixed rate is really for peace of mind over what you're going to save. That's the primary reason. The secondary reason might be because it's low. But always remember with fixed rates that the banks have done their homework. They're not going to lose on it. They're usually in front. So I wouldn't lock in a fixed rate out of fear, particularly when all the experts are saying, including the Reserve Bank, that we're going to have
that rates are going to be stable.
We're going to keep low rates for some time to come. So, you know, I think if you're going to make any changes, fixed rates don't have a lot of flexibility. So, you know, you've got to be sure that things aren't going to change there. If you're going
well,
to
that
you,
and that
rate.
Your circumstances are not going to change, you're not going to want to sell.
That's right.
Or look too.
I always encourage clients, talk to me before you do it. Talk to me, so we can just work out if it's the right thing for you. Because, I mean, I've had lately too a lot of clients coming back with high fixed rates and saying, "Can I refinance this?" But the break costs. There's a break cost if you break a fixed rate, can actually be thousands of dollars.
So they're not any better off then?
No, not really.
You've got to weigh it up, really, don't you?
Just have a conversation with your mortgage broker, and we can give you some advice on it and help you work out
so
what's right.
So my question, which is not really home loan related, but I've noticed some ads because of the regulators and all that sort of stuff on television talking about super and the banks wanting to do something with super funds.
That kind of annoys me, the industry fund.
The industry fund. And I thought, please explain, you know, to the novice.
I mean, not that I think,
the
banks are the, you know, not that I think they're the people who look after the superannuation industry.
But what is the problem? It really is...
that the industry funds are trying to keep clients with their industry fund. But there's in my opinion, a lot of industry fund advertising that is really just scaremongering.
Ah, yeah.
And that's
why it
pushes my
too.
Buttons.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And again, it's...
Because they're basically saying the banks are not interested in you.
Yeah, well, they're...
It's completely self-interest.
But the industry... Hello, did you not hear the thing on the Commonwealth Bank this morning about their breach of the AML... laws, and that potentially they're going to be hit with a large fine, but in comparison to their large fine, they're going to post their an anticipated $9.6 billion profit.
They do pretty well.
Staggering, isn't it?
It's bank bashings, and we're not, you know, we're not banks, so we still have to deal with them. I think my job would be great if I didn't have to deal with banks, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That's what makes it hard. But there's a lot of bank bashing, and we tend to like it, and often there's good reason for it as
there's
well.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're a business, and they're out to make money, aren't they? And that's
but
where...
you're saying that in the industry, in this superannuation space, where we're seeing the ads saying the banks are after our superannuation industry, what are the why are those ads come now? What are the changes?
It's just come... There's no particular change.
Oh,
it's just that the industry funds are trying to keep
their
members,
clients, right, okay.
Rather, and look, I'm sure the
so
banks.
This is a different strategy.
I'm sure the banks are very active, so that they're trying to get referrals to their banking financial planners.
Yeah, because there's been lots of those industry ones where they compare, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, it actually annoys me a little bit because the information isn't entirely correct.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
For example, a lot of industry funds, when they say no commissions paid to financial planners and all that sort of thing, we have low fees. They actually, a lot of them outsource their funds management to companies like AMP,
right.
But because it's outsourced rather than in-house funds management, it's not disclosed the fee. It's an expense that's written off. So it isn't entirely true.
Yeah, that's
when you
annoying.
Look at your statement and you see the minor fees,
that's annoying.
It's because that part of it isn't disclosed. So there's a lot of misinformation.
There's always
about
more
it.
Information
isn't
when
there?
You delve a little bit deeper.
And I'm not against
but
industry
I,
funds.
No,
they
and
are
I know,
right for
I know
a lot
I
of people.
I just want clarification because I was like, oh, yeah. what's going on?
It just reiterates, I believe, Andrea, around the importance of speaking with specialists in every aspect of your life.
Mm.
So, you know, we don't do our own dentist work. We don't do our own, you know, haircuts. Like, see professionals that are aligned with...
It's so funny, though, because there are some...
I do my own haircut.
You do a fabulous job, Rob.
Catherine's got a hand up. What do you do of your own, Catherine?
I do everything myself.
There you
that's
go. That's a bit
congruent.
Scary.
With what we're trying to tell our clients, is it?
Yeah. Oh, that's too funny.
Well,
I've
learned things.
Rob, you've got a great haircut.
Oh, thank
and
you
must spend a lot of time every morning.
I spent
on
a
it.
Lot of time yesterday morning on that. Wow.
and it shows.
Oh, thank you.
It's very, very nice. So
all
if people
right.
want more information from Rob, they can call Intermortgage Choice, Blue Mountains in Penrith. The Hope Street Blacksland office is their main office, so you can call them on 4739 9749. Is there anything else I should add to that, Rob? Is that right?
No, nope, that's good.
Excellent.
Well done.
Fantastic.
Thank
Thanks, Rob, for joining us again, and we'll see you in another fortnight with another great topic, I'm sure.
Okay.
So what we've got on at the Chamber, we actually have one of our members and Catherine Hawes, Digital Age Lawyers, are actually got a function on at 20 Mile Hollow tomorrow night, which is Dying to Know Day. And it's all about what you need to know about dying. Is that right, Catherine?
Yeah, it's actually a really great topic.
Yeah, I can't go, unfortunately. I've
no,
got some clients booked in. But,
mm.
Well, I'm generally at yoga, but my team took it upon themselves to book me a client appointment. So it's no yoga, no... No dying to know you today either. But
you're going to be providing people with information regarding the legal perspective on the 21st century's brought a greater intersection between business
no,
and
no,
individuals.
No, that was last week's. That was our privacy. Yeah, sorry, Andrea, just got run with me on this one.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, so we had that event last week at Rex Livingston at the Art Gallery down there on Katoomba Street. Catherine was
sure
presenting
was
there.
Awesome.
It was a fantastic night. And really, I don't know that we can ever get the point across of what we were learning that night. I actually found it was so much more than I understood it was going to be. Very interactive group of people. And it was really, as always, when you listen to Catherine speak, you kind of go, you always leave.
She knows
this
stuff.
What are we going to do? But... Oh, she's got it on Facebook Live, so we can actually re-watch it. Is that for tomorrow night, or that was last week?
Last week.
Last
good, because I'm going to have a look then, because I had sick kids and I couldn't come.
It was great.
Spread it around.
It was great. So, yeah, Dying to Know Day tomorrow down at 20 Mile Hollow. And then not to forget, how are you going getting your business awards submissions ready? Mm. So don't forget, entries will close on Monday the 21st of August. So you've got, what's that, 14 days left to get your submission in.
Yes.
And then obviously the judging opens on the 24th of August. The big gala event is the October 20 down at the Fairmont. And we really look forward to a wonderful...
So we should actually
again.
Quickly just run through the dates. So judging closes on the 11th, so opens on the 24th. So entries have to be in by the 21st. Judging opens the 24th. Judging closes 11th of September. The finalists will be announced on the 14th of September. And the finalist cocktail party will be on the 27th of September. And the gala awards dinner on the 20th of October.
Correct. Any further information regarding any of that, you can contact Julie in the office on 0413 956 591, and or you can click through to the booking page to book in for any of our events. But thank you for listening once again, everybody. We love you tuning into the show. Next week we're going to be chatting with Gabriel Einan, I hope I've said her name correctly, from yes. Just Be Financial.
Yes.
And Catherine's going to be back. She's going to be co-hosting with me next week.
Yes,
and,
I won't be here. I'll see you in a couple of weeks' time.
And also Catherine's regular legal segment too, so I'm sure that's going to be hoot as per normal. But thanks once again. Stay warm today, peeps, and I hope you you have a great day, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.
On Radio Blue Mountains, this has been The Business Show. The Business Show is presented by Blue Mountains Regional Business Chamber and hosted by Peter Davies and Andrea Turner-Boyce.